in a world of mindless movie cliches. One podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Mr. Good and Plenty.
He's so good looking.
Good looking, good and horny.
Come on, we're gonna be late for class.
Talk over it a little bit. I'm going to welcome you to the show, Chris Hassler. How's everything going?
All right. What's going on, sir?
Everything's really good. I got to say, I don't remember seeing this movie when I was a kid.
I did not. This is my first time, I have to admit.
I wish I did, right?
This is part two of our summer TNA.
Yeah.
And part three. And between this and Hot Moves, which was our last episode, this falls a little short from the high point that was Hot Moves. But it's still good.
I thought this was an excellent example of a teeny kind of 80s flick.
I thought that this didn't have the je ne sais quoi that Hot Moves had.
Yeah, it wasn't raunchy.
It wasn't raunchy enough. And, the cast, I didn't like the cast of this one as much as I liked Hot Moves.
This one had better looking girls, I thought.
Ooh.
Well, not all.
Wait, let me think about that for a sec.
When we're talking about Linda Special or Special?
Special.
She's
Jordy Bush, she was good. She was pretty. Hot body.
Yes.
But she's covered up for most of the movie.
It's
so
true.
And in the final seconds,
the closing credits,
you see her boobs. That's no.
It's never been done before. It's groundbreaking.
There's no Debbie Richter in this movie. Let's put it that way.
All right.
There's nobody on that level.
I felt this was, and maybe I'm nuts for saying this, I felt as though if you're going to compare the two movies. Screwballs is, and that's the movie we're doing, April 1st, 1983, Screwballs was released, I guess, a 1960s period type of movie, right? And I felt as though this was better filmed. Like, I felt, overall quality of the entire movie was better, but the other movie was better.
I think the other movie was... Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I do. The other one did seem a little lower budgeted than this.
Yeah.
I like the actors in the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that was full of mostly nobodies except for, what was his name? Michael, who was in Private School as well. Everybody, even though they might not have had a lot of experience, I just thought that they filled their roles a little better, a little less broader than we have here. I mean, we have in Screwballs, I mean, the all of these movies have stereotypes, but here we have, you know, the nerd complete with, you know, he's just like, he makes even the guy from Revenge of the Nerds look normal by comparison.
There are some kind of goofy things too. A lot of, I guess, corny jokes. There's, for instance, a Leave It to Beaver type of joke.
I will say that in this movie, in Hot Moves, I smiled and gave, you know, laughs here and there, not guffaws.
Yeah.
Here, this movie didn't have as – I was not smiling as much as I did during Hot Moves, but this had a couple of very funny lines that I was – I don't know what it was. I was caught unawares and found them to be really funny.
Well,
and,
every song – every song here was from – almost every song, Johnny DeFury, and that just made me pretty happy.
Yes, folks, if you like rockabilly, we're going to play every single one of these songs.
Yeah, Born to Bop, Knock Knock, Shake That Thing.
Can't Knock the... Yeah, was it Can't Knock the Bop or something?
Now, before I got it, I saw how much this cost, and I can't seem to locate the budget. Yeah, I want to say it was $800,000 to make this movie.
This is a Canadian write-off. I mean, I think everybody on here is like... Canadian in some way. The director is Canadian. The girl who plays Bootsy Goodhead is also the screenwriter.
Right.
She's Canadian.
Linda Shane.
I kind of went back and forth as to whether she was
hot.
You know, she's hot to trot.
No, she was kind of trashy. That's what was good about her. She was good to see topless.
Yes,
but that was about it. You know, like she wasn't like kind of a beauty, like Linda Special.
Special.
It's special with an E at the end. What the hell is that? Come on.
That is not her real name.
No, there's no way, right?
She didn't want her parents to know that she was in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, apparently she did a lot of other movies that nobody knew about because she did three roles. She was in this
movie.
Holy
shit, she was in Breaking Bad?
She was in the pilot episode as the one... do you remember this when Jesse's climbing out the window in the beginning of Breaking Bad?
Never watched Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Never.
He's basically being chased out of the house because he's hooking up with the neighbor and the husband came home. Really good TV series. Definitely watch it.
I actually want to watch that pilot just to see Purity Bush. Just to see her.
Well, she plays like the sexy neighbor. You know, so that's, you know, what's so
curious if she's held up after all
this. But let's see. She, in 1983, she was Purity Bush. In Degrassi High, she played a hooker.
Nice.
And
no typecasting here.
No. And then she was sexy neighbor. So.
That was. This is 1983 and Breaking Bad was 2008.
Yeah.
My God, I want to know if she's held up.
I remember her being like kind of milfy. You know, like I don't remember.
Oh yeah?
But I don't recall really, to be honest with you.
I mean, based on her acting here, I mean she's pretty terrible. She's pretty terrible.
She's there because she's a pretty face, and that's it.
So this movie, Screwballs, differentiates itself from Hot Moves in terms of plot. Because in Hot Moves, the goal of our collection of lead boys was to lose their virginity before the end of the summer.
Yeah.
And in Screwballs, all they want to do is see Purity Bush's boobies by homecoming.
Yeah, there's no plot here. This is not even an interesting story. There's not even a good guy.
You know, I found all of these lead guys, like, just so obnoxious. You're right. For a while, I was like, oh, they're all supposed to be the good guys. And Purity Bush is portrayed as being this bitch who everybody hates. So I was like, okay, that's a reversal.
Yeah, I mean, everything about this movie is pretty horrible, but I really did have a good time watching it.
I had a good time watching it too. I'm not going to knock it. When you say it's terrible, it is what I expected.
Right. But I mean, something like Porky's, which is what this is basically a blatant ripoff of. Maybe not so blatant. Porky's is at least a little bit more, slightly better in the sense of a story.
Yeah, this, like Hot Moves, this thing is a collection of scenes that you could chop up, rearrange, nothing would change. Nothing would change.
But you know what you do get in this movie? You get the porn store again. Like, what would you call that? The
sex adult shop.
Yeah, the sex shop.
Now, that could have been a funny scene, and it started to be funny because the proprietor of the shop is not as good as the proprietor of the sex shop Hot Moves. but this guy was starting, like, I was getting what he was doing, and then the scene ends. So I don't know if you want to play that scene. Again, we're going to go all over the place because it doesn't matter with this. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
I even forgot why they're in the sex shop. I really forgot why they're in the sex shop in this movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what they bought. Do you have your microphone in a weird spot? I can hear so much background. Like, maybe flipping pages I can hear.
Oh, yeah, that was me flipping my notes. Oh,
okay. No, I'm just... All right.
Let me get to my notes that I sent you.
Here's the clip.
Vince?
Hey, Vince.
Howdy, guys.
Good morning.
Get the same prize and fee.
Aw, oh, come on. Give us a break.
Oh, Dance.
Get anything new in?
Hey, got a brand new shipment of spanking films in from Tijuana. Check them out.
Oh, now I remember. Me. The Spanish Fly they were buying.
Ah, okay. Got it.
The guy has jars of Spanish Fly.
Is this coming to Junior?
Sorry, pal. Had a rush on him just this morning.
So what's this?
Hardware. On sale this week for only $9.95, and it's safety tested. You are approved for your convenience.
Take it home for 10 days. Put a little mileage on it. And come back and tell me that wasn't the best damn time she ever had.
Excuse me. How much is this?
Buck an inch.
Buck an inch.
Hey, Chubby. Pick him out and bring him up.
Guy thinks it's a London library.
Take it from me, kid. Vince, the Prince of Porn. You need cream. I'm talking Dr. G-String Special Erotic Cream and Extra String Spanish Fly for that extra superb bulge.
Excuse me, sir. Do these come with a guarantee?
Fuck off, will ya?
Who was that masked man, anyways?
Vince, you think you need a stock boy?
Here, Vinny, this ought to take care of everything.
Come again? Can't come, breathe heavy. A lot of fun.
Thank you.
Come on, Melvy.
I don't know how I feel about... I also didn't really find too much of humor in the guy with the S&M mask.
Yeah, a lot of... Again, like Hot Moves. There are things here that, like, go nowhere, fall flat.
Mm-hmm.
I overlooked that because I was focusing on the proprietor guy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was hoping he was going to get something going. But like I say, the scene sort of ends rather quickly.
By the way, it says $898 for the S&M mask. It's like, that's a lot of cash.
I don't know if we want to play some of our introductions to our lead guys. I don't know if you want to try... the breast exam one. This is where, who is it? This is Rick, played by an anonymous actor who I don't think you have to hear from again.
Alan Smithy.
And he gets so many scenes to I don't know if he's improvising or what, but he's not a funny guy.
Yeah, you gotta find a bunch of these kind of guys throughout the movie.
Anyway, he saw a sign hanging in the school. I think, again, this is a high school.
Yeah.
And there's breast exams going on, so he is impersonating a doctor.
Right. Here we go.
Good morning, girls. I'm Dr. Pepper. Wouldn't you like to be?
Improv.
Okay, who'd like to be the first volunteer?
Me.
How about you? You look healthy. Please.
And I wonder if you're in middle school, right, and you get your hands on this movie and say 84, 85, like I did, but I didn't see this movie. I'm probably thinking this is what high school is going to be all about. They actually give breast exams at high school. And they have girls in rooms where they're just in their panties and bras. That's, you know, it's kind of like, but wait until college, you know?
It should be noted that, like Hot Moves, everybody in this cast looks 35. And
yeah.
There's no disguising that.
No.
Everybody is way too old.
There was no reason to check anyone's ID in this movie.
No, I don't want you to worry about anything. These are very, very experienced hands. I can't tell you how many times I've done this. Oh, it's cold.
And a lot of these girls don't have speaking roles.
No.
Which I'm going to guess the reason why is because then they would have to be part of some type of actors union. Right?
they would have to
pay them money.
Yeah, they would have to be paid, exactly.
That's very nice.
I mean, he's flat out molesting this girl, right? This would not fly in 2017, that's all. Amazing.
I wish it did.
Yeah, because life was a little bit simpler then, because people don't do this. You know, like, it's a comedy, and I just wish you did have that separation of, like, all right, well, this is a scenario that could never exist. So, who knows? Maybe somebody has the nerve to make a movie like this one day. Again.
I think we're going to have to have a closer look. I can't seem to be able to hear a thing.
And then they have a graphic pops up detention. Which I thought was... Well, while I was watching the first part of the movie, I'm like, all right, this is kind of cool in a way, because you're getting these weird graphics that you don't normally get in really any movies in the 80s, in the early 80s. So I really thought it was going to be kind of this campy, stranger movie, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but I like some of these little details that the director, I guess, threw in, or maybe it was the writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing, how we're introduced to each of these lead guys with a scene where they're...
Oh, I love that. I thought it was really clever.
They all end with the detention thing.
Yeah.
And then there's other scenes where, if you look in the background, there's something that catches your eye. I don't know if you caught this, but throughout this movie, there are references to Muffy. So, like, in the next scene,
mm-hmm.
in the French class, if you notice on the blackboard, it says, Muffy gives French. And we should play the scene because, again, just to go by what you're saying in terms of how the guy, in this case, it's Brent, the rich kid, who's molesting somebody's mouth with an Eiffel Tower that's shaped like a dick.
Makes no sense.
But just watch the blackboard, and then
okay.
We'll talk more about Muffy.
All right, here we go.
To speak French, you must use the mouth, la bouche, the lips, les lèvres, and the tongue, les langues. And you must always speak from here. The diaphragm.
Boy, she wears it hard.
Now, Klaus, after me, la bouche.
La bouche.
the mall, Mama. Oh. Or else, will you take the road car while I'm away?
Oh, let us use our bouche.
Improv.
Today, I will teach you the most.
I don't know, just go up there and be funny. I don't know. You're, not, you're an actor, aren't you?
You gotta be French. Do something French.
I could see it, yeah. So you're coming to me, you're saying you're an actor, but I don't know. It's a comedy. Be funny. I feel like this was like a movie made by the mob. That's how I feel.
It's probably where the financing came from.
Exactly. It's where the sex shop worker came from. He looked like Pauly from The Sopranos.
Advanced mouth exercise. Today you will learn the proper way to give French ed. To give Parisian ed, you must use your bouche. You must use la lèvre. And most important, you must use la tongue.
La tongue? Oh, Brent, teach me again.
Oh, yes, la tongue. The tongue.
So he gets detention. He's basically Johnny Lawrence from The Karate Kid without any skills.
Nice reference.
But that's who he looks like, right? He's that guy, you know?
I was thinking that guy looked like, what the fuck is his name? A guy from...
Christian,
I
know.
A guy from One Tree Hill.
Oh,
He's got like three names.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
You know, he was the lead guy. I know you never watched One Tree Hill. But,
no, I don't. Sorry.
Wait, now it's bugging me. I just got to find out.
No, but you know, his haircut is exactly like... I'm forgetting his name.
Timothy Patton. And
oh, okay.
No, I don't know. What is this guy's name? God damn it. It's driving me. Sean. Chad Michael Murray. That was it.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of, what's his last name? Slater. Not Christian Slater.
Another Slater?
From the 80s.
Slater.
He was, in Tough Turf.
Spader.
Spader. That's how I lift up the P.
That is Spader, pretty in pink hair.
Yes.
It looks, you're right. From.
It's like feathered. And
that's the entire character right there. It's this rich, obnoxious guy. Only Spader did it much, much better.
Yeah, this guy has no finesse whatsoever.
By the way, Spader can be funny. Spader can be really funny.
By the way, when they made the movie, there's a lot of bright colors throughout the movie, and they said that they were inspired by the Archie comic strip.
Interesting.
And this movie was supposed to take place in 1965, which is 18 years before the movie's release.
What?
So, yeah.
I did not know that.
But the thing that makes no sense is when they're in the drive-in, that movie...
I wanted to talk... You know, I know I saw Pam Grier in there.
Yes.
In those clips.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, all right, that's a Pam Grier. Like, what the hell?
And the movie that they're supposedly singing is real. They spelled it wrong. They called it The Wild Women of Wango. And I thought, all right, well, maybe that's intentional. You know, but it's really Wild Women of Wango. But then they start showing these clips from a Pam Grier movie. And I'm like, what?
Maybe that's something to do with crediting the movie or saving money.
Hold on. Let me get to my drive-in. Because that's where my really laugh-out-loud line comes from.
That whole scene took one day to film, which I don't see why it wouldn't, because it really, you know, but it was just a lot of things going on for that particular show.
Yeah, I thought that was the climax. I was like, wait, it turns into this big, like, fight scene or like all these, you know, all this slapstick fighting and carnage is going on. And it was like something out of like one of those 1960s, like the way What's New Pussycat ended, or the way Casino Royale ended in the 60s, with just all these big, big scenes of this kind of comic carnage. And
That's what it reminds me of. The end of this movie kind of reminds me of that, like a Russ Meyer type of thing.
So why don't we play that drive-in scene?
Sure.
Because I want to hear that, like I say, my funny line.
All right, here we go.
There's actually two during this. Okay, go ahead.
At the TP Theater. By the way, there are a lot of cool cars in this movie.
I knew you were going to say that.
But there's also a 19... So it's supposed to take place in 65. So they're passing maybe a 57 Chevy or something like that. I see like a 50s Buick, and in the background I see a 76 Nova. And this movie came out in 74.
Ouch.
So there's a lot of inconsistent facts going on here.
This picture is disgusting.
Yeah, you're right. Sex.
Yeah.
Don't look now, but I think Paul's masturbating. Make him stop. I can't. He's using my hand.
That's a good line. It's a good line.
Right back.
This guy's making out with one girl, turns to the other girl.
Hang on a second.
He turns to the third girl.
That was Rick.
Then you have Pam Grier. And the friend's jerking off.
You all right?
Mm-hmm.
This is fun, huh?
Yeah, right.
Tim?
See, Linda looks good here.
She does, and when we see her knockers, I was like, oh, well, I would tap that.
But she's also a co-writer of this film.
She is.
So for her to write in these roles for herself and not, you know, chicken out, yeah, you gotta respect a slut like that. I'm just kidding.
What?
You drunken slut! You steal the master's wine! You bitch! I'll teach you!
And they're laughing. This is what's funny. They start kissing as that's going on in the background. And you hear them slapping one of the slaves. And they turn back to the screen and start laughing.
Mom, is this movie 3D?
Yes, dear. Dark, dark, dark.
So I don't know if you want me to continue going on this particular.
It's funny now. Brent shows up with his sister of one of the other guys. And that's what causes the chaos to ensue. And I just wanted to point out that the music that plays during that comic slapstick...
When he goes to run, you mean?
When Tim attacks Brent.
Okay.
And everybody starts fighting throughout the drive-in.
I'll play that.
The music cue is lifted from a Roger Corman flick.
Oh, really?
Yes, that music is from Battle Beyond the Stars.
And that's when Brent shows up with Tim's sister?
Right.
All right. I'm going to get right up to it. How do you identify that?
I love that soundtrack. It's by James Horner, and it's on my iPad. It's
nice. All right, here it is. By the way, the car that they're backing in, I think...
I knew you were going to talk about that.
No, it's the same car that the guys were just in, like, jerking off in. I think it's the same exact car.
Ouch.
Did you hear that car?
I not in your thing. Real champagne?
But of course. Is there any other kind?
That's gotta be Brent.
Now get out of those filthy rags. You.
Oh, drinking and driving, you know.
Which one do you want, warming your bed? We haven't even cleaned it yet.
I wonder who tonight's victim is.
Let me just check.
Oh my God, it's my sister.
Your sister?
I'll kill you!
Sort of
you don't listen, do
Brent.
You jerk off?
Did somebody call me?
What?
He sort of humps Brent when he starts to, like, swing at him.
Yeah.
He actually, like, jumps on him, starts rubbing his dick against Brent.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a little too concerned that Brent is, like, he smells Brent. It's Brent.
And he slams the door on the girl who's topless, and somehow
and
she's stuck against the window. Which...
So, and it's funny, the kids see her, and I kind of like that stuff. That
yeah, happens. I think that's pretty funny.
Nobody touches Trisha.
Calm down.
And there's a button in, I think it's Brent's car, where if you push one of the, it's like a boob, it's a nipple, and you push it, and it makes the seat vibrate. So that's the sound you hear in the back. And the sisters is bouncing around.
Calm down.
Yeah. Here's how I'm going to calm down.
Hey, boobs, under glass.
It was such a random cue, a random music cue. And I was wondering, like, how did that happen? Because this is not Roger Corman produced, as far as I can tell. You know, it's not a New World picture. Maybe the composer doesn't even know that his music was lifted for this Canadian production.
Well, do you know the name of that particular piece?
Composer?
Yeah. Oh, no, well, the...
That's the main title for Battle Beyond the Stars by James Horner.
Yeah, I mean, there's no credit here in the soundtrack credit.
Nope. It's really, like, just lay it in there. Just cut and that's it. It doesn't even fit what's going on.
And somehow they got the right to use the arena, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I don't know how they did that either. Topless
scenes.
I was wondering, I started to think, well, maybe some of this is, filmed just for the movie.
We have to see that movie.
The stabbing of the, at the end there, or, of these gladiators that are just, again, there's a mishmash of scenes. I don't know.
I felt like that scene would have made a great ending of the movie. It had an Animal House type of feel to it.
Yeah, it was just such a big thing to happen only like halfway through. I mean, this movie's only like 85 minutes. And they do stretch it. Like you say, it's a very skimpy plot.
Mm.
And as I said, the scenes are unconnected. And it just seems to be there to extend the running time. In fact, there's a funny scene I'm hoping you can play, because this is another scene where I laughed out loud because I thought it was really funny. Okay. And yet it doesn't affect a thing. It's the librarian.
Yeah, that was a very...
That was awesome. I thought that was a very funny scene. I mean, the lady playing the librarian is no great shakes as a comedian, but I liked what she was doing. And and I just thought it was funny. But like I say, it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
And the scene opens up showing some books on a shelf of Muffy's Men.
Exactly. See, there's all these references to a missing Muffy. And it's these things in the background that I saw and I thought were funny, that they were throwing this stuff in there.
All right, here we go. Even the way this is filmed is a little bit cuter.
Yeah.
But she's a hag. She's the only unattractive woman, truly unattractive woman.
Luckily, we don't see her in any state of undress.
No, talking!
It's a hag. There's two deaf girls signing.
I said no talking!
Attention students, there'll be a meeting today for all members of the Glee Club.
Attention students, there'll be a meeting today for all members of the Glee Club.
It's like Playboy or whatever it would have been.
I used to do that.
The pulsating pants.
Good visual gag.
Yeah, they got up and they picked up the table.
It's something like out of you know what I was vetting for my kids is Naked Gun, and yeah. I was like, oh, that's like a Zucker Abrams kind of visual gag right there. When she says, "This table out."
Plus, you know what, kids and like who are our kids' age, they'll laugh at the joke, even though if they don't. They might not fully understand it, but it's a physical enough gag where they don't fully have to understand it to laugh.
Yes.
I showed parts of... No, maybe not Naked Gun. Not Airplane. It was one of those. But he just thought... He was just cracking up. He, like, loves OJ. I'm like, meh. Don't tell your friends, you know.
All right. I think at this point in our show, we should do a song from... Johnny D. Fury.
Yes.
To give everybody a taste of this guy. So if you want to do the one at, 57, 55? This is during a strip bowling scene. And this is the montage. As the boys are playing with
Strip bowling, it's not something I ever thought of. But here we go.
And the girls are willing.
Yeah.
A queen. Oh, my
Is this the same song as in the beginning?
Is it?
It might be.
All right, wait.
Let's play a little.
All right, you're still open with 8-5 lead, Myrna.
Out, guys.
What? You afraid to take us on?
You mean boys against girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Oh, that's old business.
Not for me. Yeah, well, I got a little something to make it a little more interesting.
Uh-oh.
How about a game of strip bowling?
Strip bowling?
There it is.
There you go. By the way, their period correct bras are very unattractive. Wouldn't you agree? These are like the pointy kind of
it's
three
period,
times the thickness.
It's period correct.
Jeez.
But I... All right, well, let's play this song and then we'll talk about the lack of boobs.
I forgot about this whole scene. I don't know how I... And it's like one of the funniest, most ridiculous scenes I've seen in a very long time. So
again, a lot of... Especially what happened. So you didn't go all the way through there.
No, I'm going to continue playing it, but she threw the bowling ball and it landed on his penis.
Howie's the nerd's penis.
Right.
Again, it's a funny visual.
Yeah.
But again, I was giggling at this.
And his voice goes up very high. Here, listen.
It's stuck! I can't get it out! You guys help!
Hey, Brent, Tim, pull from the rear. Mel and I will get front. Okay?
Tear that sucker off.
Okay.
I have a hacksaw out in the car.
No! Hey guys, this always works.
No!
We've got a better idea. Come on, girls.
You know what? I think I just didn't nail it, but you know. if you were to go to Niagara, the town of Niagara, right, in upstate New York, and go to a strip club, these are the girls that would be there in 1983. They're good looking enough for a strip club in Niagara.
Ouch. Ouch.
So, I mean, it's not like they're unattractive. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I went back and forth about Bootsy there. There's another girl, like Bootsy's friend, Rhonda, who I was like, well, she could be. I would. But
yeah, exactly. It's like you have to put yourself in that situation of like, well, I would. But then it's like you have to also say, well, we're talking about a movie, though.
Beer goggles.
But here's the rest of the scene. So the girls are going to surround this poor kid and help him.
And make him shoot.
It's ridiculous.
Howie. Gee, girls. Thanks. My first strike.
And what's wrong with his ear? Do you notice that?
I did not.
If you go back to that scene, I don't know if you have the movie up. His ear looks like it's folded over. It could be the way the glasses are on there.
I just assumed, again, it's part of his nerdy appearance.
But it looks like a deformed ear or something.
Ouch.
Just pointing it out. I would need to see a higher quality version, maybe.
Just to continue on, why don't we go back and just... do one more of the intro. I know we're jumping all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think this movie makes a difference. The only thing I did want to mention is after the drive-in movie theater brawl, the scene that follows that is the sex shop scene.
Which I think
is very strange. It's a strange pacing for what just happened and what they're now doing. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Let's see. So I just wanted to go more along the lines of like, just for our listeners to have some of these girls orally tease, as they do for Fat Boy Melvin, who's one of our leads.
Mm-hmm.
This is how he gets into tension because the girls just, he's serving the girls in the food line at the cafeteria. He is one of the servers.
All right, here we go.
Fury in the background.
Is he really?
In that soundtrack, I mean.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Because I just freeze frame on one particular guy who looks kind of like a greaser. Banana peel.
I'd love a scoop of dripping chocolate with some of your whipped cream, big boy.
Sure, girls. Whatever you want.
Thanks, Melvin. I would have gone crazy if I didn't get something in my mouth.
Do you also want to share what the name of the school is that they go to?
TNA, right?
Yeah. It's like Taft and something. I forget the name exactly. So all the girls have on their chests TNA.
Oh, Purdy. What can I get for you?
I'd like a big, hard, frozen banana.
Oh, it's coming right up.
You know, I think I've changed my mind.
Well, what do you want?
I feel like a hot, fresh
cherry sundae.
Oh, yeah. Cherry, huh?
And, Melvin, I just love you to top it off with your nuts.
Yeah, well, I'll be right back.
Where are you going, Tchaikovsky? Going to live up to your last name?
Finally, ladies, at the point of pride at Taft and Adams, our old germ-free, frozen, foo-foo-foo meat locker.
They find him in the meat locker, Tchaikovsky.
Wait, I gotta take my hand off my cuff here.
But I also want to mention they have this like ongoing thing with the secretary who stutters.
Which again, I thought that was a funny. You know, they don't do much with it. They, if anything at all, really, she's just there.
That's the thing. I was waiting for something that, and just nothing happened.
No, and I just thought she was funny. It should be said that there is a authority figure that the boys are rebelling against, which is the principal, Principal Stuckoff. Not much happens with him either. I thought he was going to turn into more of a comic villain, and he is, you know, he's got some funny bits, but...
nothing too funny, though.
Yeah, nothing too funny. But like I say, there's a lot of stuff in here that doesn't... hit very, you know, very well.
Yeah, a lot of it doesn't land, and I think it had to do with budget constraints, maybe...
Or lack of, you know, maybe people aren't funny. You know, there's a very, you know, each guy is going to try a plan to get to see Muffy and the Buff, and there's a scene where Melvin, the fat guy, is buried in the sand at the beach, and...
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, not much comes of it. I mean, it's...
There was one thing where he's buried in the sand, and I always forget her real name. Purity lies down, and he puts his hand up through the sand, almost like a zombie would or something.
Yeah.
I thought that they could have done something with that, maybe.
Yeah, but...
And maybe again, she had a fear of zombies throughout the movie or something. And this happens.
That whole plan falls kind of flat, and...
Also, again, her top was off when she was lying down. And then when she gets up,
yeah, I noticed that too. And you know, there's a real reluctance in this movie, I think, for like female nudity. I was kind of disappointed. There are some scenes, but I just think Hot Moves had so much more boobs. You know, in this one, we get to see Howie the Nerd's ass. I don't want to see that ever. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, another thing is. I'll say this much. You do get to see some boobs in this.
No, there's definitely boobs.
But it's not that sexy. It's not really, you know, my 14, 15-year-old me is not looking at this movie as like, oh, this is, you know, an incredible movie.
Right, right. Again, except, I'm laughing. I'm having a good time with it. I just wish it just reached the level of Hot Moves, and I don't think it got there.
And I only want to see Purity. And you really don't even see her until the end. And even then, it's kind of, it's over credits.
Yeah, I was, like, really surprised. Like, they ended this movie, like, boom, that's it. I mean, it was, I guess they really had no other footage.
a black screen would have been better.
Yeah, a black screen or, Jesus, do like a Burt Reynolds stroke erase and do outtakes or something.
Yeah, outtakes are always a winner.
I was just really surprised by, like, how, like, I was looking at the time as this was going on, and I'm like, wow, there's only, like, 3 minutes left, and, you know, I assumed there was going to be a wrap-up afterwards, and the boys would exult in their victory, but I don't know. It just ended so abruptly.
Yeah, I felt that way towards maybe with 10 minutes left. I'm thinking, all right, they have to sum this up in 5 minutes because there'll be credits. Not realizing that the credits were going to be about 45 seconds.
And to get Purity to get that top off of her, they do this really convoluted plan that I'm not even going to go into. But there is a Johnny D... Fury song that accompanies the montage as they're preparing for this final scene. So I don't know if you want to play that.
Well, what about the you have Q18, which is Brick's plan, and he spills the Spanish fly into the punch.
Right, that's at the school is celebrating the opening of an airplane repair shop,
which is so idiotic. But
I
don't know what song that is though. Is that Worthwhile or?
Yeah, I think it is actually. Right. So if you want to play that again, this is another scene of mass chaos, slapstick, carnage. You know, the Spanish fly is in the punch. Everybody's drank it.
It's
so
fizzing.
It's an orgy scene, basically.
Yeah.
And, again, I admire them for doing this, but I was like, is this the climax?
Yeah. Like it's another a lot of moments where it's like big scenes, but it's like, all right, this isn't the ending.
Yep.
Here we go.
Okay. It's my turn to take a shot at Purity. Just remember to keep her busy when I juice up the punch.
Got you covered, Brent. Hold on to that.
Hello, Purity. May I have the honor of getting you a glass of punch?
Well,
it's my privilege. Oh, Purity. What song are you going to sing at the homecoming game?
Our national anthem, Rick.
I want to mention, she mentions that she's going to sing the national anthem. There are two versions of this ending, and I can only find this version that we're seeing, but she also sings the Canadian national anthem.
What?
Yeah, in the
really?
Canadian version, yeah, but I can't seem to find it, sadly.
Really? How interesting, it's always been one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
You know that? Sorry.
Oh my god, the TNA orgy.
There we go.
This part's on fire, out of control. But this part's on fire, down below.
Here's to you, Purity. Bottoms up.
I'll drink to that.
Last night, how are they?
They'll live. They'll never play the piano again.
Purity, please. Just try one sip.
Oh, please, Brent. I hate it when guys beg.
Oh, Brent. Such a loser. Yeah, with his members only jacket.
And his tennis racket, I was gonna say. That's to show he's a rich preppy.
Yeah.
He carries a tennis racket everywhere in every scene.
So you don't look rich enough. Here, hold this tennis racket. Jeez.
Ouch.
So you wanna maybe we should just jump to this final Purity attempt at singing.
Yeah. Oh, did I clip that? I didn't clip her singing.
So,
because this is the Johnny Div Fury song as they do all the arrangements set her up. It shouldn't be soon after that.
No, I have it.
Oh, okay.
You want to just jump to that?
Yeah, let's hear Muffy.
All right, here we go. Wait, so this is going to be Purity singing, right?
Not at 1:12:38. This is, like the prep.
Sorry, I was jumping.
getting into the zone.
So what they're going to do is use electromagnets to create a storm, which will create so much chaos that it will tear the clothing.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know, but I think they insert, like, they sew in metal
shrapnel or something. Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Yeah, again, I think it's supposed to be funny, but it's not.
Yeah, they could have skipped this scene, actually. I also want to mention they're starting to do these weird camera angles in the movie where it's like 45 degrees turned. And I don't, like, what are they just bored at this point? Do you think? I'm not really sure what they're doing. Like, I think that I genuinely feel they were like, all right, this movie is going to be a disaster. So just do whatever you can to make it crazy. Gonna get her.
Now, folks, don't be disappointed that there is no official Screwball soundtrack LP with all these Johnny DeFury songs. But
now, what about Johnny DeFury outside of this? Are there LPs?
He has LPs out that contain these songs. Or you can go to YouTube because they're all there.
Or you can listen to this podcast. All right, here we go. Here's the final climax.
Miss Purity Bush, who will honor us by singing our national anthem.
Thanks so much, Principal Stuckoff, and to all you students and teachers who have made my 4 years at Taft and Adams best time in my life. Tonight, I would like to perform for you in order to show my gratitude.
Can't wait to see your gratitude.
And now, will you all please rise?
God, I hope Tchaikovsky doesn't take that the wrong way.
Just want to warn everyone. There are 2 minutes left to the entire movie. Yes, that includes the credits. 120 seconds left to the entire movie.
That's why I thought, oh, well, maybe I don't have the whole movie.
Right. But no, you did. that's, you know.
And they cribbed that music. You know, I know it's a famous classical piece, but they did the same thing in Caddyshack at the end when Bill Murray is blowing up the golf course. Mm-hmm. I think they used that same classical piece.
Yeah, I think so.
Too.
The same exact one.
Yep.
I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fun. I thought that the ending was completely rushed. They could have taken their time a little bit, and they could have not left this really cool scene as a backdrop to the credits.
I guess they ran out of money or something.
Yeah, but they could have 30 seconds. I mean, come on. cut out the sex scene in the sex shop. But, all right, man. Well, you know what? I don't know what is next on the agenda, but I'm enjoying this entire TNA summer. What do you want to do next time?
I think we'll do Hard Bodies.
All right, Hard Bodies. One or two?
I am hoping. One. I am hoping this has got as much nudity as I think it does.
Rated PG. All right, man. Well, thank you very much for getting together.
All right, everybody should go check out Screwballs.
Yeah, and subscribe to his podcast and leave us a review. Do all the things that you have to do. And, so I guess I'll talk to you next time, man.
All right.